Ally, welcome to the Late Mac Show. Not dead, just late. Thanks to me. We found out a new way of doing the video, and it looks luscious. It looks absolutely super gorgeous now. CPU's a little higher than normal, though, I have to say, because it's recrunching it, I think, down to 1080, down to 720. But we're here for the Mac Show. Superb team with me. Excellent bunch. Starting us off, top left, Doc, how the bloody hell are you, mate?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. I just don't understand why this year I have permanent allergies. But other than that, you know, you guys will have to excuse my occasional. It just happens. I can't.
What's been happening in your life then, apart from the allergies?
Nothing, just work. I mean, being stuck in the house, we're re-locked down, so I can't really go anywhere. So I just been working on my live streaming gig and setting up my new iMac and trying to be more efficient about it this time. And yeah, it's this iMac is a screamer. Holy goodness. Way to go out.
Yeah, I think from looking at the benchmark, mate, there's no need for me to think about worrying about a Mac Pro in future now.
Oh, my goodness. It is so amazing. And think that the silicon is probably going to be faster than this. This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to wait and
see. I don't know how much of it is CPU with that 10th gen and how much of it is the 5700 XT with 16 gigabytes of VRAM, which is crazy. It has more VRAM than my old machine has regular RAM. But, yeah.
Cool. Welcome, mate. Next to him, it's Jeff. How the devil are you, buddy?
I'm doing awesome, especially since we had time for me to make some tea before recording.
Yeah, mate, we had time for you to make some tea during as well.
Yeah, had I known I could make breakfast during.
The amount that I was neffing around. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, but everyone looks beautiful.
Everyone does look beautiful.
Every single one of you, just straight up sexy.
You're not lip synced particularly, but it's not a million miles away.
Yeah, well, considering that my video and audio have to go to space and back for us to be able to chat. It's amazing this works at all. Also, Skype.
I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point. Are you well since last night? We haven't seen you, of course, since the big show.
I'm doing well, and we are smoke-free at least for the morning. So that's a wonderful thing, and it's just awesome to get to hang out with everyone.
Jeff is echoing. Okay, that should be gone now. Realize what I've done wrong.
My words have half the value now because they're not echoing.
Yeah, no, I've sussed out what I'm doing wrong. It's okay. Next to him, Patrice, how's it going?
Doing good.
Excellent, mate.
Happy that it's Friday. Week is over.
You're right. What are your plans for the weekend?
Actually, don't know. Cleaning the apartment, like the usual shit.
Oh, like, the luxury of it.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Happy to be an adult, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And last but by no means least, our man from iMen, Max Callum. How's it going, brother?
It's not too bad. Yeah, been a couple of weeks, but yeah, glad to be back on the show.
Yeah, no, sorry, mate. We had to move to 4 p.m. just because. So
that's fine. It's past my bedtime at that time.
Yeah, no, it's you're not in the office anymore. I do realise that, and I do apologise.
No, it's fine. Not a problem. Glad to be back.
All right, mate. Superb. Let's kick it off then. Straight away with the first story. Apple has shared details on new nutrition labels for apps. So basically what they're doing is they're telling everyone what the privacy settings are for each of the applications that are in all of the stores. So all developers will have to submit a series of information which will then be published openly for people so that they can choose. Kind of like a nutrition label that you get in a in the supermarket. Got to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Bro, that is amazing. Why did anybody think of that up until now?
Well, they could have done it years ago, couldn't they? Point.
Yeah. The other thing, I guess it kind of doesn't have to be because it's been there for years, but I don't believe people read them and pay attention to them. So I think another cool thing on the nutrition label would be like, what is the expectations of your machine? And what they have to do is say the minimum machine is a Mac Mini 2012 with 4 gigs of RAM. They have to chop the minimum off because that's not true. It should have to then become a Mac Mini 2014 with 8 gigs of RAM, which would be the next bump. And that's what you can only put. You can never put the actual minimum as the minimum, because people listen to that stuff. They have horrible experiences, and then they just write crappy reviews either about the software or about the machine. And it's like, no, you tried to run After Effects on a really crappy machine, and then you get mad at the people that created it. And so that's the other thing.
Maybe they needed a sliding scale for that, where you can have different labels. Like, it'll run, but you won't be happy. It'll run, and you'll be okay, and you're going to love how this app works.
Kind of like when you buy some spicy ready-made food and it's got lots of chilies on it. You can have like one chili, two chilies, and three chilies, you'll be fine. You can go for some more.
Three chilies is the ass burner.
It's got 16 gig of RAM. You're all right with that.
My only question for this is whether there's going to be a way in which they express that information, because, I mean, developers aren't going to want to let you know that they're taking all the shit that you give them and selling it on to other people. So they're going to phrase it in a way. There's got to be a standardization of phrase so that it's right. If you take data and you anonymize it and you sell it to a third party, you have to physically say that. You can't say share with our partner, any of that bollocks.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. That's right. Because the ability to double speak some of that stuff is what makes it scary, because people don't understand what that means. And our partners is generic. You should also have to divulge if your partner is Facebook, because let me try to wrap this up in a 5 o'clock morning statement. I'll use Callum. Callum says, bollocks, I don't use Facebook. I hate Facebook. They're not getting any of my data. Oh, yeah? Do you happen to use the fantasy football app on Sky Sports? Oh, yeah, that's great, man. I get to go in there and then pick my team for Birmingham. And even if I don't have a signed player, like, I can sign Ronaldo to Birmingham and I can score points whenever he scores. I'm like, okay, do you know that they share all that data with Facebook because Facebook is their ad engine? What? You know what I mean? So there's a bunch of people that don't think they're on Facebook, but they're on Facebook because of Pixel. Mm. Yeah. So it has to be like you and says in a link when they see our partners, it literally has to say, and by that we mean Facebook, Google, ads, Apple.
I don't think you're going to get them to actually stipulate each single person. They're not going to give that, but they're going to clearly say we take data and sell it to third parties. They can't say we share it with our partners, meaning it only stays in house and that's it. If they're selling it outside, then it's outside. Are we still echoing chat room, by the way? Because you need to tell me if I'm not, because otherwise I'm just going to get pissed off at the end if I find out we are. Sorry, go on.
I mean, the really cool thing is also that it will tell you what data it is even accessing. Because, I mean, right now the only way to figure out whether an app needs location data or, Bluetooth or network, like all the other options that you have, is by installing it, starting it, and then it will ask you for it. There's no way to know before. And this privacy label tells you, okay, this app needs location data. This app needs Bluetooth access. This app needs all of those. And that is great, because then you can have a look and say, oh, I don't know. Why does this app need location data? Do I really want to install an app that needs location data to, I don't know, find, to get a recipe?
It's interesting as well that they're subdividing that as well. So there's precise location and coarse location as well. So they're looking at the granularity of where the location data is for each application. I know it's been good of late. Go on, sorry.
That is a new feature in iOS 14. So apps can now, before they could only kind of request it, but it was always somewhat precise. But now there's a special API where you can say, well, I mean, if I don't care, all I need to know is that, I don't know, I'm in Birmingham. But you don't need to know where exactly in Birmingham. It's good enough to say Birmingham area. Then they can just request that and say, recipe sharing, take that as an example. Show me all the recipes around, that people around here are cooking right now. That's good enough. They don't need to know exactly that in Castle Bromwich, where exactly they are.
Are you going to get to the point where you actually give out my address here?
Oh, I can do that.
I mean, I couldn't even remember it,
but I think the thing is that Apple have been doing, I've been getting checks saying, right, okay, this app is still using your location. Are you sure you want it to? And you go, always when I'm using the app, or only when I'm using the app, you know, that kind of stuff, which is kind of good.
Yeah, exactly.
No one needs to know where anyone is in Birmingham, really, says Joe.
Maybe.
Good point.
Joe doesn't come from Birmingham. He's a bit of a hate.
I mean, Apple's example is like a maps app, like a navigation app. Obviously, it has to know exactly where you are. But as I said, that recipe sharing app, I don't think that matters.
Yeah, no. It's, you still got to go in and check stuff off, haven't you, though? Whereas this, this isn't going to be an automated process. This is only giving you information up front that's saying, when you download this app, it's going to take these things from you. Don't say yet. It's like, you know, it's as equal to a charge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not, I mean, you still have to allow it and you still have to do that. It's just like information before.
But it's not a check. You're not going to get an active check within the application there afterwards. This is the pre-purchase information that says this is what it's going to do with your data. If you click yes, then that's it.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Jeff, you're ominously quiet on this.
Oh, I've been enjoying listening. And, and all I've had to offer are basically smart-ass comments. So I thought I would let the smart people talk for a little while.
That's okay, mate. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you know, just doing my part.
Cool. Super.
And maybe once the rest of this tea kicks in, I'll suddenly be more active.
Okay. Broadcom has confirmed that... chips will be delayed, so there isn't going to be chips for the iPhone 12 on time, which means that at least October is the now anticipated. Do you think Apple are going to do a launch thing in September just to keep the calendar running and also to give us a kind of, we're still here, you know, things aren't as bad as they may seem, you know, we're keeping on top of everything?
Yeah, so I have, like, there was some person on Twitter who, like, shared the launch calendar. I don't know how accurate it is, but it looked legit. Basically, what they said, or what that person said, is next week Tuesday we will get a like press release of some, like, I think Apple Watch and iPad hardware, and then October, like the second week in October, I think, is the Apple event, which kind of tracks with all the other rumors.
That I find plausible. Excuse me, except for just a press release for the Apple Watch, with some of the features that excuse me, we're hearing in the rumors, I would think that they would do an actual media event, like gang it up with the iPhone.
I mean, I don't know. Press release might be like. It's a wide field. Like, I mean, they could do something like they did for the for WWDC, drop a video, or like they have actually launched in the past.
Oh, sure.
Like where they gave it before to, like, I don't know, 10 different people, like the YouTubers or whatever, and had them launch it basically, and let them make videos and so on. So there are very
many
variants of what they could be doing.
I don't think Apple are going to leave that to someone else.
Well, they have done it in the past. That's why I said, like, it's not the first time they've done this, and they could do that again. It just depends on how big, like, how, like, if it's a, like, an incremental improvement, like a small one, like, they, I don't know, the iPad just, like, has a little bit more hardware, and the Apple Watch, I don't know, has, like, one more feature, they might not, like, care, really.
Yeah, no. But, I mean, they're not going to launch the iPhone 12 via YouTube, via some spotty little kid in Ottawa.
No, they won't do that. But as I said, like, that's at least what that person said, what the plan is, that the website would be updated. And as I said, there could be they drop a video, like a really nice Apple Park video, like they did up where they just show off the thing and announce it, and that's it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I was thinking too narrow in my scope. You're absolutely right. And I agree, no iPhone announcement before October.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that as well.
I mean, the big problem they've got as well, if they do see something in September and it all goes horribly wrong, they've got nowhere to hide then, have they?
Well, and they've already told us no iPhone till October anyhow.
Yeah. And that's the best guess. So it could get worse.
Yeah.
Another outbreak of coronavirus somewhere. And
Yeah, I mean, they have more than enough to announce for this year. I mean, they have the iPhones, like the 12 and 12 Pro. We know that there will be a Silicon Mac, so they could do all of that in October, like do one event and do those two.
Yep.
Yeah, no. Interesting.
I think the one thing that's, I guess, in a sort of perfect position is through years and years and years of trying to get a control on the insanity, which is the in-person line, the supply chain is really well set up at this point in order to do order from your couch, sit there and wait patiently mm-hmm. on a Friday when the UPS or DHL or Royal Postman shows up product. So I think that part is good, that at least they can actually do a full virtual launch without too much of a hassle. But mm-hmm. then I guess the other part of that is somewhat challenging, and this is just something that's never going to go away. Now that we're, 12 iterations into this phone, which is actually more like 11, you're going to still have people that would need to have it set up in store on the first day because, yeah, there's just still people that own the product that don't even know how to properly back their stuff up or use iCloud or whatever. That would be mm-hmm. the actual challenge that would get in the way of the user experience. Is there are some users who just refuse to take the 20 minutes it takes to learn how to do it properly. Mm-hmm. And they just, every time they get a new one, they just turn it on, everything smoothly, they're good. But if there's a hiccup, they kind of lose their salt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless, like in the US, I know some stores are still closed, but Apple is offering in-person shopping, like an in-person shopping experience now. So they, people like that can totally do it. I said, unless your store is closed right now, then you have a problem.
Our stores are closed.
Why don't they do it by a FaceTime? You just dial up, you get your personal FaceTime guy goes around and he points at stuff and goes, what, this one? This one? Is this the one you want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be crap and it'd be inefficient and it'd be horrifically expensive. But in the current climate, you're paying them mm-hmm. anyway. Just do it as a kind of a niche or a... a video personal shopper thing for a few clients that dial in, and it's got viral video, Rennie Ritchie would do it and extol about it. So just take the kudos while you got it.
And this sounds like a great use for Apple Glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have all the retail staff right now that for those closed stores is not doing anything. So they're probably helping out with support right now, but. They could be doing that.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you're going to go walk around an Apple store with a virtual assistant pointing to stuff, and they're going to go, mm-hmm. yeah, that stuff. And you go, right, okay. And then all they're going to do is punch it in the computer, and it's going to get dispatched from a warehouse, mm-hmm. a la Amazon. But you've got that kudos of like, oh, Apple are doing personal shopping now. That's make the COVID experience better. Well done, Apple.
Yeah. They could even dispatch it from a local Apple store. Just have like a delivery driver show up and pick it up and deliver it. Like,
yeah, just get Uber Eats. Yeah. Yeah. Get Uber Eats over and they deliver it.
Another way they could do it is through it wouldn't be Zoom, but something similar to Zoom where you notice, okay, at 1 o'clock, we're going to have all of the people who, are afraid to set up their phones. You come on, we got room for 50 people at a time, and we're going to do this, together. And then we'll do it again at 1:30. We'll do it again at 2 o'clock. So
just wait
so you can do the instructor led class. The only hang up in that is some people will have slower internets than others. So you'll be waiting for the person that, still using the cheap plan to catch up. But other than that, mm-hmm. I mean, that might help as well.
But the problem
you come up a setup webinar, couldn't you, where it's on an even bigger scale?
They kind of do it, Patrice, you're correct. They kind of do it, but, I think for people that are the type of, I'm going to completely be mean here, but this is just what it is. The type of person that would have like their 10th iPhone and still don't know how to set it up properly or still don't know how to use iCloud, they're going to want to feel like they're being taught. They're going to want to feel like mm-hmm. they're being held. So that's why just watching a video on a site that you could do by yourself isn't quite the same thing as when there's an echo person to talk back.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Where they can raise their hand and be like, yes, Dave from Bath. Well, I can't get the, you know, the little squirrely thing with my other phone to look at this phone. And they go, okay, Dave, turn up the brightness. Oh, I caught. Oh, my God. Thank you. Yeah.
Doc, I don't think you're being mean at all when you framed that the way you did. Because Apple has like designed products that are essentially turn it on and go. So there's a lot of people out there that are using technology like this that haven't ever been in a position where they need to learn all the things that we know. All they need to know is that they get a new phone, they type in an Apple ID, and they start using their phone.
Mm. Yeah. So I think I'm anecdotally on this bandwagon because it happened to me yesterday, and it was super frustrating that this person, my friend, who was making a copy onto her Western Digital, didn't understand why the brand new Western Digital that she bought stopped working when she knocked it from this position to this position on an 8 terabyte spinning drive. What's a piece of crap? It shouldn't break. It only went from here to here. I'm like, but you knocked it down while it was spinning at 7,200 RPMs. Mm-hmm. And it didn't connect with her. And then, so
she doesn't know the internal structure. She doesn't understand
needles. Which makes it more funny. And she had an SSD with her data on it that she thought was safe, but she never plugged it in since she copied all this old stuff on it. And then she plugged it in now, and it's none of the stuff is there. And I'm like, yeah, because it has to see electricity every once in a while. If the last time you plugged it in was 5 years ago, the data's gone. She's like, what do you mean the data's gone? Because an SSD has to have power because it's sitting in a cell like a battery. That's how, you know, QLC, MLC, SLC, that's how this works. You charge a cell, it slowly drains if it never sees electricity. And a lot of people don't know that the stuff that they have on their SSD, if they don't plug it in every once in a while, it will go away.
What I wanted to say earlier, sorry. I think Apple's already doing our online courses. Like, remember those in-store courses that you could do? And I think like 3-4 months ago, they switched those to online. They're definitely doing it for kids, like that I know. So I think they already do that.
No, but just another thought I've had. What you could even do is say if you're there buying the new iPhone or whatever products online, you could even, as part of the checkout, you could go, oh yeah, I'm going to pick Thursday at 2:30 for a setup webinar and sit there when you've got it and go through it. They could even incorporate something like that into it. Maybe. Just an idea.
Muller's postulating that by the end of the show, Callum will explode because of the ticking, but I assure you it's not going to happen. So don't stick around till the end expecting to see red and grey all over the screen.
I tell you what, if it does explode...
Is that you in studio fan?
No, it's the timer on his boiler, which is above his head. This is perfect set management, mate, because he's got this wonderful backdrop, but actually he's in a cupboard and he's got a boiler above his head. So.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, if the boiler does explode and I survive, I bet I could fix the Mac that's underneath it.
There, good one.
Yes.
Right, boys, 5G, MMY 5G anyway, is only going to be on the top-end phone. They're not sticking it in the others as a suggestion of a rumor suggests. it doesn't say what they're putting in the lower phones, so whether all the 12s will all be 5G, which I guess they probably would be, but the MMY stuff is only going to be in the 6.7-inch huge jobby.
So they're only trying to control the minds of the people rich enough to buy the bigger phone?
Well, it's your target audience, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
I kind of wonder whether that's a pricing issue. I've heard that the millimeter wave chips and so on are just much more expensive, and that might just be like that they can only do it on the, or actually only want to do it on the higher price phones.
Yeah, there's got to be a separator, hasn't there? Because is the internal storage as much of a separator as it ever was? Because now that's got to, I mean, with so many years down the line now, that buying a 256 chip is probably cheaper than buying a 64 gig chip.
Mm-hmm, probably. So, especially at volume.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it doesn't start till 512, or it doesn't start till 256 now. Mm-hmm. So there's no point in making that the differentiator anymore, because no one wants a 1 terabyte iPhone, I don't believe. It's well, someone will, but you know, they'll never actually use it. So the differentiator has got to be the connection speed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As I said, like, what I've heard is it is significantly more expensive to do it. So it's not like a dollar more or something. It seems to be a substantial increase in pricing.
And this isn't something that carriers are, at least in the United States, are supporting hardly at all. Like there is no 5G anything.
Well, that's a point from Bob Beach here. He says, how much millimeter wave 5G is actually around anyway to have? But it's a future-proofing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. Bigger cities.
Put it on the super expensive high-end models, and then when it's widely available, then you roll it out to the rest of the lineup.
Just like everything got phasing over time, won't it? The cost will become less and less of an issue, I think.
Muller's making the point, what are we talking here, $5 more?
No, it's more than that.
It will be more.
I said that's what I've heard. Like, it's definitely more than a couple of dollars, otherwise it probably wouldn't matter for Apple.
I was going to say, it would surprise me if it's a cost issue with Apple, because that, in my experience, well, just in my brain anyway, has never normally been their style of, oh, it's X amount more, we won't do it, X amount more, so we'll pay more.
It's
what's in my head.
Yeah.
At scale, they're not going to take $5 and like just screw up the whole pricing over $5 on a device, because at the scale that they're at, it doesn't really make that big a difference. It has to be a lot larger than, say, $5.
No, actually, I'm going to disagree with that. Apple has done things in the past where the yield, especially, which increases the pricing, wasn't there. Apple always has a price point in mind, and they always have a profit margin. And those are constraints, and Apple will sometimes not do things because they're not like there yet. I mean, they didn't do 3G in the first phone, but they could have. At some point, you have to make a decision, and if, especially at scale, like if you spend $10 more or $5 more on a phone and you produce 70 million of those, that adds up. So Apple doesn't like say, oh, we're not doing like the CPU has to be slower because we're spending a dollar more. They're not doing that. But if it is a significant higher price, or if the yield of that chip is not good enough, and they have like, which also increases the price because they have to throw away half of the chips, then they may sometimes make a decision to say, well, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And I think the other question is,
at the 3G level, we were in a different, like, I mean, markedly different install base versus now. So maybe that would have been harder. Their valuation, like all of that, was just so different back at 3G versus now. The stock has split 8 times since then. So that's maybe true at 3G, but not necessarily the case at this point.
It happens.
But I mean, from the standpoint of, I think at the time when the 3G thing rolled around, it was more, they were concerned about user experience more than just price. It wasn't that they couldn't have done it. They weren't sure. You know them, they won't pull the trigger unless they're absolutely sure that the bank shot's going in. It's just weird like that. You know, they don't like to take gambles. And every time they've taken a gamble, people have raked them over the coals for it. Yeah. And
no winners.
And eventually they're proven right, you know, later. But people lose their crap when they remove a floppy disk or take out a serial port or, you know, do whatever. So
I think it could be more of a supply issue, to be honest, than anything else. That's what I've got a feeling that it is.
But that's ultimately always a price issue. Even a supply issue is a pricing issue. That's why, I mean, 3G was just an example. Like, trust me, the price for Apple comes in. Like, that is a factor. And there is, as I said,
that's its business.
It has to be. Exactly.
Cool, yeah. But I think Apple will be looking at it and going, go on, sorry.
Yeah, if that chip pushes it over the edge and it says, like, it's like, I don't know, it's 10 or 15 bucks more, but that pushes it over the edge. And that makes it more expensive, or they have to like maybe compromise on some other end where they don't want to compromise on it. Then they will.
Or 15, I understand. I'm saying five is the threshold. 10 or 15, I can understand, right?
Yep.
But five, I don't think so. I think five, you just eat it.
Yeah, no, the
one absorbed. We just picked the five. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where the threshold is, but there is one. And yeah, as said, at some point they might just say, okay, it's like, let's say $10-$15 more per phone, and it pushes us over. As we said, it's not most people will not even use it. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe we can wait until next year.
In the modern era, though, I don't believe manufacturers absorb costs anymore anyway. They would rarely sit down and go, yeah, we'll just suck that up because it's for the greater good. It's like, okay, well, if that's the price it's going to be, this is the price it's going to be at sale. Mm-hmm. You look at car industry and you look at the suppliers to tier one to the car suppliers to Jaguar Land Rover, to Mitsubishi, to Mazda, to all of the big car makers. The car makers are walking in and saying, love what you did last year. Fantastic. Never missed a deadline. No penalties on the account. We think you're the best thing since sliced bread. 5% cheaper or else. And that's the conversation. They tell them they love them, yeah. And then they go 5% cheaper. And they go, well, hang on, yeah. But our costs have gone up. The cost of steel is up. The cost of shipping is up. Petrol's up. You know, what are we doing? And they're like, 5% cheaper. That's the motivator or driver for innovation. So I don't think any manufacturers just go, do you know what? Yeah, I know it's going to cost us £5 extra to make this widget, but we'll just have to suck it up. They've got to go back and say it's going to cost more. And certainly Apple, you know what, not of that kind.
It makes me change my thing just a little bit. Is now that I think about it, is because we know good and well that the little white adapter is about $1.80, and they were like, yeah, screw that, we're not putting it in this time.
Yeah, Apple.
I take it back. I take everything I said back. Yeah. And the $5
don't forget about shareholders.
That's why this whole conversation is screwed in the first place.
Apple might do that, like on the initial batch of phones, if they know they can drive the price down within a month or two. I'm pretty sure if they know, oh, right now it's I don't know, $5 more, but in 2 months it's gonna be $5 less. They might do that. They might say, well, okay, we can drive the price down as we ramp up production. Okay.
And I think as well, Apple probably aren't too worried about it because I think it's probably an iteration or so early for, you know, to be really worrying about it. I think probably the next iPhone, whatever they end up calling it, I think will probably be the one they'd want to hit where it's 5G across the board. I think this one's probably just a touch too early to be worrying about it, really.
I've had, the current existing speed systems that we've got for mobile communications still aren't working properly. You go to a stadium and you can't get on anything because everybody's on it. I've had the Edge symbol pop up on my phone three times this year, and I'm not talking about I'm stood in the middle of the Yorkshire Moors. I've had the Edge symbol pop up when I've been in villages that are enough of a population to be bothered about, but it's still come up. And you're like, holy crap, you know, that means I barely get a call.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering whether power is the other issue that Apple has with millimeter wave. I don't know it, but...
Yeah, it's got to be a battery shooter.
Japanese
developers have waded in on the App Store practices. It's a little bit on the back of Epic, but with Fortnite, but I don't want to talk about that because we've done that the last 2 weeks. But there's an awful lot of increasing, and the Japanese regulator, the anti-competitive regulator, has said that they are studying this with interest.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So
how much of this storm can Apple actually weather before they've got to start thinking about the costs of what they're taking in on the App Store? Because 30 is quite a high percentage in a modern environment. You know, most companies will take 10% as an EBIT, and some people will be taking 3% as an EBIT quite happily.
Most companies take 30, but the question is, how much is that just following Apple? Because Apple's charging 30, everybody else can charge 30.
Yeah, they've also waded in on the price, but they've also said about things like, Google Play Store has got a much smoother approval process. There's a lot better communication back from them as to what's wrong, etc. Whereas Apple's review system is just ambiguous, subjective, and irrational, unquote, Makoto Shoji.
Yep, no, that's true. I know Germany is looking at that too. I'm pretty sure France is, a lot of countries are looking into it, and I think they should. So. We'll see. And France will slap a fine on Apple, we know that.
Fair enough.
All right, so, excuse me. Now, I'm, wow, sorry about that.
It's all right, get it up, boy.
The 30% that Apple's taking, And I'm not tossing this out as a defense for Apple, because who knows what they should really be charging. Who actually does know how much money it's taking for Apple to have and support their app store?
Who hosts the app?
Apple.
The developer.
Yeah, well, they do.
Yeah, Apple do, Apple not the developer. The
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
It's AWS in most cases.
Yeah.
So what we're missing right now in the whole discussion is, what does it actually cost Apple to do this? And I don't know. So it could be that while everyone's saying Apple shouldn't charge more than 10%, that they would be losing money doing that. And at 30%, they're breaking even. Mm-hmm. Or who knows, maybe they're making a huge profit. But the point is, we don't actually know how much it costs Apple
to have
this app store.
But the call from a regulator wouldn't set a percentage for Apple. It would be a call for transparency of cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be okay with transparency. It would be nice to know how much it's really costing for all of this to happen. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see the same for all the competing app stores.
Mm-hmm. One factor is credit card costs, which can be like up to 4 or 5%. That is included in the 30%. I don't know what payment processing in itself costs for Apple, probably like another little bit. But we know, it's hard to know exact numbers, because it's all service revenue. But as far as I know, the App Store is included in service revenue, and they make a profit there. I mean, yes, that includes iCloud, that includes Apple Care, that includes like a lot of other things. But it can't be, I don't think, I mean, especially because the App Store is probably the biggest part of that, because everybody's using it right now. I don't think they're losing much money there, if at all.
I think for absolute certainty they aren't.
Yeah,
I would be surprised if
they can go down to 15% after a year. Probably tells you that 15% is
enough. Still a profit margin.
Be losing money there.
No,
I'd say hand over fist if they're going to be making anything.
We know to some extent how much money Apple is making, because they have released numbers how much money they paid out to the developers, which is a lot.
Mm.
So you take that number and add your 30% to it, and then you kind of have a general guesstimate.
We don't know the cost side of that. We only know how much they made.
Yeah, we only know the end number. That does create somewhat of a problem, because it leads you to be guessing, like, you know, sort of what their cost structure is or whatever. Then I think the other part of it is, ちょっとゲームを作りたいの人は変態のものがあるけど、そしてこれは自由の意見だけ。 What I just said,
absolutely,
this proposal guy is being a dick, because he creates a game that has traditional, let's call it not traditional, but just has questionable characters based off of a company based in America that has a standard, and Japan has a different standard. So when you create an anime with scantily clad people in it, that's quote unquote called a game, and therefore it's open, that's okay, and that flies in Japan, but it doesn't fly here. So when Apple gives you a strike because your game is a little adult content oriented, then you get pissed off, and then you go in and you write articles and says Apple's being a dick because of Epic, and they're doing the same thing to me. What he's really mad about is he makes perverted cartoons, and Apple don't really like that.
I hope he really does so he doesn't sue us.
Huh?
I hope he really does so that he doesn't sue us.
Oh, I don't care. He can't sue, because...
Well, that's good, because I didn't know what he said in Japanese.
I said. But, yeah, so, yeah. Basically, though, that's what was happening, is a lot of the developers, and that's why it's considered ambiguous. They don't understand, because it's just a cultural difference. But a lot of Japan developers have gotten in trouble because their games, you know, if you look at old school PS2 games that were available during import, they were very popular everywhere because That might be the first time a teenager sees Chi-Chi is in a Japanese anime.
Right.
Yeah. I have to agree with them, though. Like, I mean, I have dealt with app review and with rejection, and it was usually ambiguous. Like, it wasn't very clear what even the issue was, or, like, the rules were applied sometimes, and then other times it was fine. Like, it wasn't a good experience.
No, exactly. If you're submitting something that's soft porn, it gets kicked out, then you should have known that before you put it in, and I've got no sympathy. But if you're getting it back and it's like, okay, what do I need to do to make this work? Oh, well, that's for us to know and you to find out. I used to get that from old photo editors. You used to take pictures, send them to them, and go, no, crap. And you go, what's wrong with it? What am I, a teacher? Go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you got. And you have to find out the hard way.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Last story then. AirTags allegedly come in October. These are little tiny devices that when put in your wallet looks like a condom and will help you find your wallet. There is no indication on this about how big these are. What kind of size we're talking about. The video doesn't seem to explain much, but I think Apple are a bit late to this market, aren't they?
Didn't we hear about that last year that they were about to launch with the iPhone?
Yeah, exactly. I think this could be like the Wi-Fi charge. I think this may not actually happen at all.
Well, if it does happen, okay, with a lot of products or features, in the past, people have said Apple is late to the game, and it hasn't mattered. For this, late to the game might matter, but not because of the technology, but because of the state of the world right now. These tags are awesome when you're traveling. And Tile, I am heavily invested in Tile because of all the travel I used to do. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see the big sales for something like this. And that kind of travel doesn't happen anymore. So that's where I see Apple being late to the game with this. And to hit your question earlier, how big are these? Look at a Tile. That gives us an idea of how the technology can be compressed down. So nothing bigger than one of the Tiles. Yeah, that doesn't even...
I know they're not real, but that picture there was massive.
Yeah, that looks like at least twice as thick as a Tile, assuming it's like the same general footprint. But yeah, like on that photo of them on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look like they're giant.
Well, they're hockey pucks at that point, which...
Yeah, they look like Mac Minis almost.
You'd struggle to attach that to your child. They wouldn't be able to carry it all day.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so if that's what they really are, then no.
You need a bag to carry your AirTag.
Yeah, that would be an epic design fail on Apple's part.
We need AirTag socks.
Bob's put, I want some, but I'm sorry, it's incumbent entirely on the size of these things. I'm not looking at... I mean, I bought the Track R, and those are crap.
Bravo.
I mean, they're just, the Track R Bravo was just crap. I wish I hadn't paid for them. I got 10 of them, and 9 of them are still in a drawer over there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they will come. All the technology is there. Like, I mean, Apple announced the Find My API, so Tile and whatever can use actually Apple's Find My network. They have, like, they showed off at, I think, the last two WWDCs NFC tags, and a lot of people are using them. Like, all the, like, the phone has that, what is it, U1 chip, like that ultra wideband chip that the iPhone 11 has that. So, like, everything is there and everything is pointing to it. I think it's, for some reason, it didn't, like, wasn't ready last year. I'm pretty sure they wanted to ship it last year and something happened.
Yeah, I think they missed the boat, though. I can see them stepping away for it at the last minute.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like. I mean, there were pretty strong rumors, like, up to the iPhone event that they were going to announce it and everything, and then it just didn't happen.
Good comeback from Doc in the chat room. Muller's given him grief over speaking Japanese, and he said, don't be a hater because I speak five languages. You can't speak the one that's native to you.
Boom. Last word to Doc. That's a slap. This podcast and all this is supported by TSO Host. They're brilliant. We get all the bandwidth. If you haven't seen it, go on the blog and look for a video from Righty Boy. He put down this history of BTN where I've aged horrifically, faster than the bloke at the end of The Last Crusade. It's awful. But it is a history of BTN. It's got some of the good moments that we've had. It's got Jeff's moment at CES where he showed us the sexy time toys. It's beautifully done. And he got all the footage because he could go back through all the shows because TSO Host gave us a massive server that lets keep all the old shows. And then not content with that, he's gone back and he's made Jeff's best moments as well. So get yourself onto the blog and have a look for those because they're absolutely brilliant. Make sure you get out on the socials. We do require you to do it. It's kind of tailed off a little bit in the last few weeks. You must get out there and do thanks at TSO Host for supporting out in British Tech. Because if they don't get the brand recognition, then I can fully understand if they wanted to step away. And if they step away, we are screwed. We cannot afford the servers. We can't keep everything up. Mm-hmm. BTN will fold without them. So you must get up there and do that. Please get out on the socials and get it done. The other people that are supporting us and very important to us are IMN Max. Great bunch of blokes up in the middle of Birmingham and Fran. And they repair anything with an Apple logo. Simple as that. Anything goes wrong, you can give it to them. If you've got a piece of old tech that's just gathering dust and you want to liquidate it into some money, perhaps, you can give it to them and they might give you some cash for it for donor parts. Anything that you've got, data recovery, they do refurbished items, new love for an old machine, and you can have it off them just for the kids for a bit of email and internet browsers and that kind of thing. They are superb. Again, get out on the socials and thank IMN Max for supporting that British Tech. Cal, do we have a machine of the week?
We do. We have some machines of the week. Ooh. So we've still got an awful lot of 21.5-inch IMAX in stock. What we've done with them, we've upgraded them all. So they've all got SSDs as standard in there now. They're on for, I believe, around £800. So come in as standard with an SSD. So it's actually better than the one you get in the Apple Store at the moment. So, yeah.
Brilliant, mate. Excellent. Thank you very much. It's time for the cool thing. Start us off. Doc, what you got, dude?
I was just... Sorry, I was looking at the video of Jeff showing off his Auto 2. Goodness. Anyway, so I had been in the market. I can't think now. I had been in the market for a new keyboard, and I was trying my hardest to stay away from another just body-sucking hobby. But my buddy Jerome and my other friend Dave Chat, they were like, bro, you got to get into mechanical keyboards. I'm like, I have a DOS keyboard, whatever. They go, no, it's so much better now. Hot swappable keys, select all types of switches, like the whole nine yards. And this is what I got. This is my Keychron
K8. Oh, you punts.
This thing is so dope. It's an aluminum body. It comes in you could do all kind of myriad colors. I normally just keep it a single color. But what I like about it is it comes with Gateron brown keys. Of course, you can change them to whatever you want because not only are this one actually has Mac keys, as you'll see, but it did come with the Windows keys. You can pull the caps off, but this little switch is also hot swappable. So I could actually pull that entire switch out. So if you get a sticky switch or a switch that dies or whatever, you can take it out. Or if you know that your work requires you to hammer a certain set of keys over and over again, you could change that to a stronger, say, 65-gram linear switch, whereas this is only like a 45-gram linear switch. But it's clicky but not obnoxious. It has a nice flow. This thing is absolutely incredible, and you can customize it to whatever you want. So I don't need a fancy keyboard or whatever. I put this in the hands of Emma, and then she was like, Uncle, I need this keyboard. And she goes from not wanting to do her typing class homework to a little kid, barely knows how to touch type. And she, in like a weekend, she's banging out like 40 some odd words per second at 96% accuracy, which is better than me, by the way. But I'm just so amazed at, what she was able to pull off with this. And like, this keyboard is incredible. It's cheap. It's only $100. And if you're looking for a mechanical keyboard, it's the one more thing that it has. It has three setups. So right now I'm controlling this iMac, and my iPhone. If I have to do a long rebuttal on my iPhone, I just type it with the keyboard, and it switches relatively easy. So it's a Keychron K8. If you need the 10 keys, there's a Keychron K4, which does have the 10 keys on the side. But I bought this because it's portable, and it's worth every dime.
Cool. I need to start muting when you do cool things because you're costing me a fortune.
Oh yeah, Kyle, you would love this thing. Is so dope, dude. I can't tell you, like, I've had mechanical keyboards. Like, Kelly and I used to waps rhapsodically about Matias keyboards, but not 40 words a second, Magic Man. I'm sorry, a minute. I don't know what I said. Anyway, this thing is just gorgeous, and I already know that I'm going to probably change my arrow keys because I use them in Final Cut so much that I need a little bit different feel, where it actuates without pressing it all the way down.
But good, man. Thank you. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate?
I have something that costs a lot less, like free. So there is a new Lego kit coming out, and it's the Diagon Alley from Harry Potter. So it's not the kit that's my cool thing today. It's an AR website that Lego set up so that you can explore the Lego Diagon Alley from your smartphone. And it's actually pretty cool. The only problem that I have had with it is that I need to think about where I'm actually setting up the kit so that I actually have room to walk around with my iPhone and look at more of it. And so I need to figure out where in my place I can actually do that. But it starts off with a red brick wall made out of Lego, and part of the wall opens up, and then you can come up to the wall and look around and look through and kind of explore the alley, and there's Lego minifigures running around, and it's just kind of a fun little thing.
Excellent, mate. Hey, like that. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So I decided to go with another movie, or in this case, it's a movie, like another TV thingy. Unfortunately, this one is not on streaming. I just checked. But it's Michael Moore's Where to Invade Next. I watched that like a week or two ago, just because I saw it. I bought it like years ago. And the funny thing is, I mean, this is from 2015. This is as relevant today as it was 5 years ago. I'm not a fan of Michael Moore, to be honest, like, as a person. But this movie, like, some of his movies are really good. And this one is, like, really, really interesting to see, especially, I think, from an American perspective, but also from a European perspective. Because he basically visits, like, a lot of countries in the world and just picks out the good things. Like, what is good about the UK? What is good about, like, Austria and Germany? And I don't know, India even. So I think he goes to India. Like, he goes to different countries and just like hones in on like what makes them great, and things like healthcare and like being good people to each other and helping each other and like stuff like that. And as I said, like, it is a very interesting movie. It is only available, as I said, to buy or to rent, unfortunately. Like, at least Just Watch is not putting it anywhere on streaming right now. But it's not super expensive. I mean, it's the US is $7.99, I think. In the UK is sometimes even $6.99. So it is a good movie. That's all I'm going to say. And I think it has good reviews as well, if I remember correctly. I think it's 7.5 on IMDb.
No, so, super.
Yeah, good movie.
Thanks, mate. Good one. Callum, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so what I've got this week is an Android emulator, pretty much. So it's actually kind of... They market it as you can play all these games on your Mac. I've been using it as basically an Android emulator on my MacBook, and it's worked really well. It's very, very, very stable. So if there's Android apps that you need to use or want to use for anything, yeah, you can download it. It's free, and you basically have an Android device sat on your desktop, like a virtual machine, basically. So a really, really handy thing if you need to use Android for anything.
Is it free?
I haven't paid for it, so yeah.
That sounded like a qualified answer. I stole it. Yeah, geez. Wow.
No, I downloaded it directly from the website. It's free. It takes a while to load up. That's not really a criticism, but it's a really handy thing. And it is free.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Superb. Michael Thing, we've always kind of done, we reviewed Ring Doorbell when it first came out in the UK, and they sent us a unit, and I never returned the unit. I kept it. And after about a month, I was like, I ought to send it back. And then I said, do I send it back? And they said, no, it's fine. So I didn't give it away. I kept it. Sorry. They didn't buy my review. It was a good thing and I enjoyed it. And we've run it now for 3.5 years. But I've been trying to get it to run off the power. And I rang them. I sent a thing through their online support and said on Twitter and said, it won't run through the power. It's never run through the power. I've always tried to run through the power and it's never managed to do it. So they said, well, send us some pictures of the power supply you're using and that kind of stuff. And I sent all that through and they're like, yeah, no, that should be fine. That should work without a problem. That's don't know why that's not working. Have you got the connector on it? Yes, I've got the connector. Have you tested it? Yeah, I've tested it. Okay, fine. So I went through to their customer support through an email, and it was a bit of a pain in the ass trying to get them to look into my account. But as soon as they went into the account, they said, oh, it's 3.5 years old. We're not going to do a warranty repair on it. I said, I don't want a warranty repair. I think the back plate is the problem. I just need a new back plate to try it, and we don't do that. Okay, but it's never charged. You know, well, yeah, but it's out of warranty. Yeah, I get that, but it's never done it. And they said, okay, that's fine. So what they did was they gave me 40% off a new one to make up for it. So shout out to them is just, there we go, Ring Doorbell 3 Plus, £199, but with 40% off because I said it's never done it, and they said they accepted that. They said, we're not going to send you a new one, but, and that which I thought was a bit cheeky based on the fact I hadn't paid for it as well. They sent me a new one with 40% off. And I fitted it this morning. Effortless setup. It was really, really good. Really good. And the little wedges that you get now, oh, mate, they're good. They're really good.
Yep.
Enjoy those. So, Ring, well done. Thank you. I've also got a conversation with them through the BTN Twitter account I said, do you want to send us some products to review? But they haven't replied yet. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. I do the new live show is every Tuesday and Saturday at roughly 7 p.m. BST. So if you have any live streaming questions, like how to set up Skype through NDI, even though it came out 3 years ago, watch the show. Send me any questions live.
Just I put don't a give Q you any grief. Why are you giving me grief? Yeah. I don't give you any.
Oh, no, I was advertising, dog. You can't interrupt my advertisement. You know how much I...
No, that little dug about even though it came out 3 years ago, you and you incompetent twat. That's what you were actually saying there in brackets.
Hey, that's one of my five languages.
Subtlety is one of your five languages. Bollocks, you're American.
Yes.
Love you too, brother.
40 words a second.
Jeffrey, where are we all to you?
How about Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram and here on the Mac show yesterday or next week on the Big Show and like all the other shows and also very soon on that interview show. And Patrice, I fixed my problem with ICANN. So the website actually comes up now, although there's nothing exciting there yet.
I already saw that yesterday.
Ah, cool.
Embarrassing questions in the chat room. First statement from Bob, just added the stick-up outdoor camera. Works really, really great. And Magic Man said, is that 40% of nothing? Does it work off the power now? No, not yet, because actually the charger I had, I've put the new doorbell on, wired it up to the old charger. It doesn't work, so I've ordered a new charger. I think the charger was the thing that was actually the problem. Oh man, Patrice, where can we get you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show, everything I do, including new links also to BTN on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback, foodieflashback.com, where I interview interesting people about food and their food-related memories. And I just did one with, well, I published one with Alistair and Ali Dabs. And the next one will be with Adam Christensen. So I look forward to that.
You've got two, you got a video doorbell and two cameras as well that you don't use. You can send the cameras over. I'll use those.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
We'll talk about, oh, that means it's a charge, right? Got you. Got you.
40% off today.
40% off the postage. And Callum, where can everyone get you?
Yes, you can get hold of us and everything we do at imamax.com. We're on all the usual socials as well, at imamax. You can drop us an email at info@imamax. If you've got any questions, feel free to reach out. I'm at O'Hara Callum on Twitter as well. So more than happy to answer any questions and help with any queries. So, yeah, do reach out.
Brilliant.
Ewan, we screwed up, brother.
What's why? What have we done?
Tell them about sending my boy's phone.
No, I was just about to ask, what's the status of the Hawaiian phone?
It turns on and I can get all the data.
Right, so you've saved all the data. Right? That's brilliant.
Right? Yeah. Is that crazy? Like, it's super crazy. And then yesterday I was talking to my boy, and then he's like, you're going to really crack up because of his position working in cargo. He only paid 20 US to send it all the way to the UK. Like, I sent you in a coffee thing, and it cost me $65. So now I know, Cal. So, yeah, just put the data on, like, a cloud something, and then go get it off, and I'll send you some poundage. And then I'll tell my friend with the cargo thing to send some coffee or whatever your way. Hawaii has dope coffee, by the way. I don't know if you guys know this. We make some of the best coffee in the planet. And so I'll make sure we get you guys squared away. And if you don't drink it, give it to that grumpy old dude with the white hair that runs it.
And you know the best thing? I think he might be watching it today. So,
yep.
My name's Ewan Rankin, the grumpy old white dude. I'm at grumpyoldwhitedude@gmail.com. And I'm also at grumpywhitehaireddude on Twitter. You can follow the network at grumpywhitehairedoldfolk.com and everywhere else as well. I might be back again next week. Who knows?
It just depends on how grumpy you are, right?
Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
Yes. Bro, that was funny. That's super funny, dude. What a good ending.
As soon as anything like that arrives, you and we're going to get you around and make you a cup of coffee.
Can you get me a mug with I'm in Max on it with grumpy old white dude stenciled underneath? Get
oh, yeah.
Get Sandeep on that one.